after a hard day of nothing much at all. Rosie Schapp's love of bars began well before she started talking about them in This American Life and in the New York Times Magazine's Drink column, starting with her misspent youth in the bar car of a regional railroad, where at 15 she told commuters fortunes in exchange for beer, and continuing today as she slings cocktails at a neighborhood joint in Brooklyn. She has learned her way around both sides of a bar and has come to realize how powerful the fellowship among bar patrons can be, which has led her to write the book Drinking with Men. It is published by Riverhead Books, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Rosie Schapp to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Joe, thank you so much for having me.
Give us a sense of when you started to think in the terms of this can be something that I can write about, I can talk about, and you start putting the points together.
Well, I started thinking about writing about bars a long time ago. Actually, a professor of mine in grad school, after a night out in the West Village, when we kind of had an impromptu bar crawl around the neighborhood, she said, "You know a lot of bars. You should write something about bars." And I think I filed that just away in my memory somewhere and didn't really think about it again until about 2007, when there was one of many movements to shut down the bar car on the Metro North. Some people felt that the MTA would make more money with more seats, and more seats would be available if the bar car were just a regular commuter car instead of a bar car. And some people also seemed to have some kind of moral and aesthetic objections to the bar car, like it was a vestige of an earlier time when there were these loud, fast-talking, chain-smoking, beer-guzzling commuters who I think some people felt were kind of out of step with the kinds of commuters in 2007. The bar car survived, I'm happy to say.
On some trains on Metro North, Amtrak has taken it off many trains, and it seems that many of these local pubs and taverns have had a tough time as well. What is it about our culture to allow that to let it go, do you think?
Yeah, I think there has kind of been a shift in priorities where drinking is concerned. I think, you know, part of it is this kind of movement for more craft cocktails, fancier stuff to drink has created a different kind of bar, you know, which has its place. I'll always favor just a great, unpretentious neighborhood bar over any other kind. It's true that there are fewer bar cars around than there used to be, but they still exist on the Metro North. But it has changed a little bit. They don't seem quite as popular as they once were, certainly, as they were in the 80s when I was a teenager riding those trains regularly. And I've seen so many bars that I've loved come and go here in New York. And, you know, parts of the book feel almost elegiac to me when I read through it now, a reminder of how many bars I've lost. And some of them have been replaced by newer bars, and some of them have turned into completely different kinds of businesses. But I think there will always be plenty of people who really value a neighborhood bar as a source of community. So I think bar culture is pretty healthy here in New York, but it's true that it's changed.
Give us a sense of, for folks who may not know, that your dad is Dick Schapp, of course, the legendary sports broadcaster and journalist. Your brother is Jeremy, reporter for ESPN. How much was that bar culture a part of your life growing up?
It really wasn't, which sounds funny to some people. I know my father and his colleagues in journalism went to bars, but he wasn't a really big drinker, my dad. And, you know, I'd hear stories of old journo bars in New York where he would meet up with friends, but it was never really a big part of his life. And my brother, I think, is pretty much the same as our dad was. You know, socially and even sometimes professionally, he's certainly called upon to go out and have a drink, but it's not a big part of his life either. I feel, you know, kind of like an anomaly in my own family in this way, and even more generally as a woman who really values this whole idea of being a regular. And that's another major reason I decided to write about it. I realized that in all of my years of being a regular, the great majority of people I drank with were men. And every time I really fell in love with a bar that was either a new bar or at least new to me, one of the first things I wanted to do was invite, you know, my closest women friends to come and have a drink with me, check out this great bar that I'd completely fallen for. And they'd always come and have a great time, but saw no need to return the next night. And that's when I realized that I was doing something a little strange, frankly, that this wasn't exactly a normal way for a woman to live her life. So it wasn't a huge part of my family's culture at all. And I think it came as a surprise to my father, my brother, certainly my mother, when it became clear that I was spending so much time in bars.
For you, how much of it is the beverage and how much of it is the atmosphere of the place and that gathering and the social aspect of it?
The social aspect for me is by far the most important part of it. I've never had a real interest in drinking at home, although I like to have friends over and make good cocktails for them at home. Drinking on my own at home never appealed to me. It's really the community you find in a bar. And I think in the best bars, what you find that's the most valuable and special is just a mix of people, of younger drinkers, older drinkers, people doing all different kinds of jobs. One bar that I loved in Tribeca years ago, it was just this wonderful mix of iron workers and artists and sort of interesting local characters. And I think that's what you find in a good bar that you really can't find anywhere else, just this great blend of people, you know, who don't really fit into a clear affinity group that's obvious in any way. And the bar is what has brought us all together. We've all found a place where we feel at home and feel completely comfortable. And that's the thing we have in common. And I love that. I couldn't imagine drinking in a bar where the great majority of the other patrons were writers. I think that would drive me a little crazy. Or if they were all artists. No offense, you know, some of my best friends are writers.
You need a mix.
Pardon me?
You need a mix.
You need a mix, exactly. That's what makes a bar fun. So it's been kind of interesting for me because people reading my column in the Times see me writing about some really great cocktails, and I love those. But that's seldom been my draw to a bar. My draw has always been the people.
You write in the book that it is a place where you feel most like yourself. Do you know why that is? I mean, there's obviously a psychological component to that.
Right, there is. And I think I wanted to write about it in part to figure out why that is. You know, I think a bar is really a place where we go either at the end of a hard work day or on the weekend maybe to watch a sporting event to just completely relax. You don't have to dress up to go to your neighborhood bar. You don't have to put on your brightest, shiniest face. You really just go there to relax. And I think there's just a sort of ease of conversation. Something about a good bar, I think, brings out the calmest and most relaxed in many different kinds of people. So if I've had a rough day, or if I just want to go out on a Saturday afternoon to watch a soccer match, it's something I look forward to, just to be somewhere where there are really no expectations of me. I don't have to impress anybody. I don't have to be terribly witty, although it's great when people are funny and entertaining in a bar. I really just get to relax and be myself and have a few drinks. And it's kind of up to a bar patron to disclose or withhold as much as he or she likes. You know, certainly through difficult times in my life, I've relied on my bar friends to listen to me when things have been really difficult. I think of the times after 9/11, in addition to that really terrible, scary moment here in New York. My father was also really sick at the time. And I would wind up at a great little tiny neighborhood bar in the East Village after volunteering for the Red Cross and visiting my dad in the hospital. And they kind of knew me well enough to read whether I wanted to talk about all that or not. And I haven't found that at work or in school or among my family or even often among friends I have outside of bar life. You know, the bar, I think once you know your fellow regulars, you can show that you care and read a situation and know if someone would much rather just be talking about music or books and not talking about all this difficult stuff. But at the same time, you feel safe enough and secure enough with these bar friends that if you need to, you can.
Well, the book is, it's a lovely book, and it's beautifully written, and much joy in it. It is Drinking with Men, and it is published by Riverhead Books. Rosie Schapp, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate
it. Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Drinking with Men. It is published by Riverhead. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.